Good morning. Good morning. Happy Saturday. It is August the 31st in the year of our Lord 2024. I'm John David Walt, and this is your wake-up call. Well, haven't we had a great week with our friend Lo Alleman? Thank you, Lo, for sowing into us the faith of Psalm 1, one of my favorite psalms. They say if you know Psalm 1, you know the whole Psalter. And Lo, you're a blessing. Well, it's going to be a Holy Spirit story Saturday per usual. And we've got a good one today. It's really short, but my gosh, its shortness is matched by its profundity. Today's entry is entitled, "The Doctor is Never Going to Believe This," with Joan Fisher. Joan's one of my favorite pastors out there, sowing in the fields of awakening. Our text on Saturday, you know it by heart. I hope you'll say it with me. It's Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Hear now the word of the Lord. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." The word of the Lord. Now consider this. Today's Holy Spirit story comes to us from Joan Fisher. Joan is the pastor of Trenton Methodist Church in Trenton, North Carolina. I first met Joan in 2020 when she joined our pastor's fellowship retreat. She credits Jesus for using that fellowship to keep her in ministry through a difficult season. Joan has become my go-to band matchmaker, talking about discipleship bands here. If someone asks me to help them get into a discipleship band and they live across the miles and they're needing help finding a couple of people to band with, I immediately connect them to Joan, and she works magic. She started a ton of bands. Joan is the real deal. As you would expect, I was thrilled to see this Holy Spirit story come in. I love her economy of speech here. Every word matters. And I especially love stories that involve words like, "The doctor is never going to believe this." Below, you will read the story in Joan's voice. And if you listen, you'll hear it in her own voice. And if you're listening in, you're going to get an extra bonus today in her telling of it.
"I was reminded this morning of a time in my daughter's life. She was an EMT. They were coming back from a call, and she was finishing the paperwork. Her partner went through a red light, and they were in a horrible accident. My daughter's neck and skull were broken. As I stood outside the area where they were doing the CT scan, I didn't have words for prayers, so I sang a chorus we had sung in choir. 'I will cast all my cares upon you. I lay all of my burdens down at your feet. And any time that I don't know just what to do, I will cast all my cares upon you.'" I sang it over and over. I became aware that the technicians were talking. One said, "Hey, are you seeing this? I've never seen anything like this. Her bones are going back together." The other one said, "You're right. Look, her neck isn't broken anymore." The first one said, "Look at her head. The bone is going back in place. The doctor is never going to believe this." Sure enough, the doctor told me that he couldn't explain what had happened. She had come in with a broken neck and skull, but they're not broken anymore. I told him, "It's God. Thanks be to God. Jesus is very near."
The prayer. Father, thank you for this powerful miracle story. Thank you for when we hear EMTs say, The doctor is never going to believe this. Thank you for when we hear a medical doctor say, I've never seen anything like this. Father, forgive us for the ways we stop believing in miracles and stop asking for them when we pray so often and do not see them. Awaken our faith to pray anyway and believe even more. Help our unbelief. Thank you for a mother who will sing out loud in the waiting room, casting her cares upon you. Come, Holy Spirit, let this story mark us and move us to a deeper and bolder and more simple faith in the power of God. Praying in Jesus' name. Amen. The journal prompts today. What did you hear and see in today's story? Can you visualize the bones, quote, going back together? Can you hear the mother's song in the waiting room? How does this story increase your faith? How does it impact your unbelief? And as we turn to the fields today, we're going to sing, as we close our Saturday song, Sanctuary. We're going to sing it through twice, but before I go there, I just want to back up a little bit and meddle a little bit in your faith. You hear that last question I asked, how does this story impact your unbelief? You know, we all have it. We all have a mixture of faith and also of unbelief. You remember that story where Jesus comes, I think this is right after the Mount of Transfiguration, and he's found the rest of the disciples over there trying to cast an evil spirit out of a young boy, and they can't do it. And the father comes to Jesus and he's like, you know, your disciples said that they couldn't get it done. Can you help me? I don't have the scripture in front of me. I'm working from memory, but it seems like Jesus, you know, was a little frustrated. I think this is one of those occasions where he's like, how long do I have to put up with this kind of lack of faith? Maybe that's what he was getting at. The reason I remember that is because the man, I think he senses Jesus' dissonance, and he says, I believe, help my unbelief. Maybe this also is the story where the guy says, you know, if you can, cast it out of him. And Jesus says, if I can, as if to say, are you kidding me? If I can. But that prayer, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. That's as true a prayer as ever has been prayed. Honest. And we all carry both belief and unbelief. We're a mixture of that. We need to be honest about it. And I don't think you can get rid of unbelief by trying to get rid of it. The only way is by receiving more faith, right? Getting back to our prayer of transformation, Jesus, I receive your faith and I release my unbelief. You see, the faith of Jesus displaces our unbelief. That's the only way it goes. Let that settle over you for a second here. The faith, it's not our faith. It's the faith of Jesus. You see, this is the secret of the gospel of the awakened life. You remember in the Sower's Creed, we say, because Jesus is good news and Jesus is in me, I am good news. It's not my faith I'm trying to muster up, trying to believe more. It's actually the faith of the Son of God who has loved me and given himself for me. It's like, can I receive his faith, which is his presence in me, and then begin to move in that kind of reality? Is that what the New Testament is saying? I am crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Right? That old self is gone. That old self-interested, fearful, clinging, anxious, broken self. It's gone. It's been displaced by the identity, the personhood of Jesus Christ, the image of God being restored in me. Does it take who I am away? It actually makes me more of who I am, who I was made to be. It's my personality. It's Jesus' presence. We need that kind of faith. That's Jesus' faith. Just this morning, I was reading in Mark's gospel, coming up on Mark chapter 11. Try to read a chapter of the gospel every day, just Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, then go back to Matthew again. Coming up there in Mark 11, Jesus says, have faith in God. I tell you the truth. It's like, verily. If anyone says to this mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. I mean, I don't know any other way to read that than just what it says. And boy, I mean, we make all kinds of excuses around that. I mean, people want to just push you off into some sort of prosperity gospel camp or a name it and claim it kind of a faith. And that's not, we clearly know that's not what Jesus is saying. But I think it just helps us avoid what he's saying. All the what ifs and what if nots? And I mean, what if we just took him at his word? And we just begin to receive his faith and allow it to displace our unbelief. And we just risked, we just took the risk of audacious asking of God. We start singing that song with Joan. Wish I knew the tune. I'd sing it right now. I will cast all my cares upon you. I lay all of my burdens. I think it's down at your feet. And any time that I don't know just what to do, I will cast all my care upon you. I mean, what if we just risked that the disappointment that he's not going to do what we ask, just let that go and just go all in anyway? That's what love does. It's not hedging, it's not holding back, it's not withholding, it's just going all in, come what may. I'm going to ask. I'm going to err on the side of believing and asking and trusting and casting all my cares upon the Lord. And if it doesn't turn out like I hoped, that's okay. We'll get up, dust ourselves off, and when the next prayer trial comes around, we'll do it again. And yeah, we're praying, guys. We're praying for Susanna. The Lord is moving there. He's moving. He's working. I'll update on that soon. I better stop. I thought we had a short Saturday. I thought we had a short entry, and just leave it to me to just stretch it out. Well, get your seats. We're going to sing. You ready? Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Once again, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Amen. I'll see you on the field. We'll hit a psalm tomorrow, and we're into Exodus on Monday. For The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.